Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Heavenly Father, help me to do this portion of Scripture justice. Let them hear everything they need to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our devotional today was on love. One of the things that prompted me to do this, to share about the subject of love. Love is a very powerful force. It causes a mother to sacrifice her sleep, her time, as well as her personal ambitions for the sake of her children. Do you remember that, Mom? A job even takes a more grander purpose when we know that we're working to provide for the family that we love. It's what causes you to take jobs on, jobs that you necessarily may not like. In fact, maybe you just absolutely hate the job, but because you love your family, you're willing to do it. That's what we're talking about today, is love. Love causes us to do many things. There are many that have willingly gone to their deaths in order to rescue someone that they love. And it's exactly what Jesus did out of love for all of humanity. Did you know that as his followers were told to have this same kind of sacrificial love for others? Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." And here is the portion of sacrificial love, just as I have loved you. John chapter 15 and verse 12. And you say, "Pastor, loving like this seems like an impossible challenge for us." Well, it is. It is. And without God's help, you'd never be able to accomplish it. But whenever God gives us a command, he also gives us the resources for that command. And so that brings us to the love chapter. Are you there? Chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, 1195. I believe was the page for the Bible in the pew. This is referred to as the love chapter. Portions of this will be quoted from very much in the spring of this time of year when there's weddings. You'll hear a lot of this reading when there's weddings. The first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about the preeminence of love, how it transcends all other spiritual gifts, such as the ability to communicate, knowledge and understanding and great faith, sacrificial generosity and even martyrdom. These are all the other gifts. And yet Paul writes, without love, it's nothing. All these great things are worthless in God's eyes without love. The kind of love that Paul's speaking about is agape, A-G-A-P-E. In the Greek language, there were three different words that were translated love in our English language. One was eros. It refers to the sexual attraction between a man and a woman. If your love is based solely on that, you're going to have a real fizzle in your relationship. There'll be a real fizzle. Too many relationships today are based on that physical attraction, that physical relationship. And unfortunately, too many of them go south. You know what that term south means? They go bad. They just go bad. They fall apart. You're based on that type of love, your relationship is going nowhere. Then there's the Greek word phileo. P-H-I-L-E-O. It's used for friendly affection. And then the one that we're talking about today is agape. Unselfish, sacrificial love. Committing to one another's personal well-being and security in their best interests. Having their best interests in mind. Not yours. Their best interests in mind. That kind of love is totally unselfish. We're born selfish. And we got to work our lifetime of trying not to be selfish. The only way to love as Christ commands us is to have God's love flow through us to others. And as believers, we have the Holy Spirit to help us with that. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit gives us that extra capacity to love. But still, there's more to it. Some have that capacity. But having that capacity doesn't mean it automatically flows from us. If you're not increasing in spiritual maturity, if you're not submitted to the Holy Spirit, and if you're not obedient to God's word, you'll simply revert back to the way you were born. How? Selfish. Selfish. Paul had to deal with these carnal issues when he was in Corinth. You know why there's fighting and arguing and carrying on and fussing in the church? You know why that is? You know why Paul said that is? You're still what? Starts with a C. Carnal. Fleshly. You're still carnal. That's why. You need a good dose of the Holy Spirit. You need a good inoculation of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will change that. You ever been to churches where they argue over the color of the carpet? They get so angry, they won't even go anymore. Hello? Isn't that sad? That's pathetic. It's no wonder the world's in such shape it's in when our church isn't any better. People go to them churches saying, man, if those are Christians, I don't want to be one. Don't you talk to me about Jesus. Can you blame them? It's sad. Here in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, Paul uses character traits to describe love. And so what does love look like here? You have your Bibles there. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7 just very quickly, about 10 minutes here. First of all, love is considerate. Love is patient and love is kind, verse 4. See, all of us here, we're all imperfect. We live among people that aren't perfect. And so, because of that, there's frustration, there's irritation, there's impatience, and there's anger. And we got to put up with all that, see? And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Help me to bear with these annoying traits and these behaviors of others. Help me, Holy Spirit, to treat them kindly, even if they don't treat me kindly, even if they mistreat me. I can't retaliate. My flesh wants to. But we're not to do that. We're to have agape love. Second, Christ's love is unselfish. Verses 4 and 5. That's where I'm getting this. Verses 4 and 5. Paul has here the attitudes and actions that come from selfishness. You see, they're not compatible with genuine love. We talk about jealousy and arrogance. That's unbecoming, crude behavior, seeking one another's rights, being easily provoked to anger, holding grudges, being unforgiving. You don't know what they did to me. I can't forgive them. Well, if you can't forgive them, God can't forgive you. And if God can't forgive you, you'll be going to hell when you draw your last breath. You hearing me? That's what the Bible says. I ain't making that up. If you can't forgive people you have seen, I expect the Heavenly Father to forgive you.
You need to forgive.
Yeah, but I'm not going to forget it. He didn't say anything about not forgetting. He said, forgive. He said, forgive. You just understand what he did to me. Is it worth going to hell over? I can tell you one glimpse of hell, and you'd be at the doorstep saying, would you please forgive me? I'll guarantee you, one glimpse of hell would do it. And you'd be on the doorstep saying, I'm sorry, I wronged you. I said some things that I was angry and I apologize. Would you forgive me? That'd be easy to do if you saw a glimpse of heaven. Or a glimpse of hell. Either one will do the trick. Either one will work. We have these outbursts of anger, retaliation, sinful words and actions. You see, when that happens, it just demonstrates that we're under control by selfish passions and selfish desires, and we're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's very evident. Thirdly, genuine love is discerning. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth. Verse 6 is where I got that. You see, our world and our culture has redefined love. We say we love by showing acceptance and support for others' choice of behaviors, but you see, that's not at all what God's word describes. Paul prayed for the Philippians that their love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment. Philippians 1:9. To affirm somebody's sinful lifestyle and choice is not doing the best for them. Are you listening to me? To affirm that, you're not doing the best for them. Well, it's just easier to do that. Are you doing the best for them? You know, one thing, at least from a brother and sister, they're brutally honest. I'm talking about a physical brother and sister. Part of your family, your physical family. They can be brutally honest with you. Wouldn't you rather they be brutally honest with you? Wouldn't you rather somebody be brutally honest with you than to lie to you? How do you like it when someone lies to you? Not very well. I don't do very well with that either. Don't lie to me. Don't lie to others. Be truthful. Be truthful. It's not an act of love to go along with it. Truth and love are not in opposition, but they are in perfect unity. Fourthly, godly love endures. We're so quick today to give up on relationships. When relationships become difficult, it's easier to bail out than to stand firm and work through it. Love endures. Love bears. Love believes. Love hopes. Love endures all things. Verse 7. Love is willing to suffer hardships. Real love, trouble can't overpower when it's flowing from God. Love bears up under injustices. Love refuses to delight in gossip about the sins of others. 1 Peter 4:8. And no matter how bad our circumstances may look, our love is grounded by faith and rooted in hope. So now you can see how difficult it is to love like this in your own strength, isn't it? Absolutely. It's next to impossible. If you try it, you'll be disappointed because it's hard without the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to love that way. What Paul is really describing is a person whose life is totally surrendered to Christ. You see, for people like this, their hope is not in getting what they want, but in being who God wants them to be. Did you catch that? For people like this, their hope is not getting what they want, but in being who God wants them to be. And sometimes we get this process all turned around. We try so hard to love others, but we keep failing because love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as we surrender to Him in obedience, He produces that kind of love. Like branches bear fruit, then in our lives, because of the Holy Spirit, that fruit can be displayed as His life flows through us.